Radio, the best way in America to communicate.
He's got much more diplomacy than I do.
Too many candidates. Let's whittle it down to whoever it's going to be. Vietnam, it took them 30 years to turn the corner and move into the 20th century. If we prevail in Iraq, the Middle East might move into the 19th century. You are the audience. I want to hear from you. What bothers you?
Nightside with Dan Ray.
Knock the toll booths down.
617-254-1030. WBZ News Radio 1030.
Hey, welcome back in, everybody. Thank you very much, Mary Blake. It is 9:07 in Boston. Folks, again, get on board early. We're going to spend the next hour on a different subject. We might even go a little longer on that. We have the ability to go a little longer. I want to mention any of you who might read Commonwealth Magazine. Dan Kennedy wrote a very fair article on this program, Nightside, called the No Shout Zone. And I want to thank Dan Kennedy and also the folks at Commonwealth Magazine. We will try to live up to what Dan Kennedy says, that we have moved into WBZ's legendary nighttime talk radio slot, which it is, that's for sure, and tries to stick to the high road. And we'll try to do that, folks. We certainly have opinions, that's for sure. I know a lot of folks have been emailing me back and forth. And again, all I would suggest you do is try to listen as much as you can. Feel free to call in. We can have spirited conversations at the same time. We can end those conversations on a note of mutual respect. And that's what we're really going to try to do this hour as we talk about, I think, what is one of those highly charged subjects. In studio with us this hour, two parents of Lexington school students, David Parker. He is a parent who a couple of years ago was very concerned about some discussions that were going on in his son's kindergarten class at the time, was it? Or first grade?
Well, it's not just about one book. We were told there's books in every classroom that will be used for tools of indoctrination.
But your child was in what?
My child, when it began, was in kindergarten. Okay. He came home with a diversity book bag.
Okay, we'll get you on here, and I just want to do a quick introduction. On the other side, another Lexington parent, Laura Tully, who currently has, is it a seventh grader?
A seventh grader.
Just one child in
just
the
one child, yep.
Okay, and has that child been in the public school system in Lexington right from the get-go?
Right from the get-go.
Okay, so basically to set this up for folks who are unaware of it, the United States Court of Appeals for the First Circuit issued an opinion, it looks to be about 38 pages, fairly long opinion, last Thursday. I've had a chance to read that opinion. It was an appeal from a case that appeared before Mark Wolf, who the chief judge of the Federal District Court here in Boston, and there was no judge, along with Nancy Gertner, Judge Wolf, are two of the judges who I most respect on that court. And the case was heard by a senior circuit judge, a couple of circuit judges, Sandra Lynch, Jeffrey Howard, and Judge Stahl. I'm not sure of Judge Stahl's first name. And they basically had to balance, and I'll try to set this up and I'll give you folks a chance to kind of help me set it up. They had to balance the rights of a parent, in this case David Parker, to what his child or children should or should not be exposed to in the public school system. And David was very upset with and we're going to give you a chance to explain that. The exposure to books, programs, he calls indoctrination, but books or programs about various families, different lifestyle families, and we'll get you to expound on it. I just want to try to set it up as fairly as I can. And at the same time, he was joined in this lawsuit by a couple of other parents from Lexington, so he's not alone. And were there other parents who supported you, at least from the sidelines?
Oh, sure. There are a lot of parents. Robin Worthlin were the other parents.
Okay. And then on the other side, there were parents represented by Laura Tully, who felt that the school system was trying to expose their students to the fact, the reality, that there are various families that now exist, that the old Leave It to Beaver family of mom, dad, and a couple of children has now fractionalized, and there are same-sex parent families, there are single-parent families, there are a variety of sorts of families. So again, I hope you both will agree that that's a relatively fair setup. And now I'll start to question you, and then we'll open up the phone lines, and I know we're going to have fun at 617-254-1030. David, what was it that upset you as a parent enough to literally make this a federal case?
Well, we were concerned that, and it turned out to be true, that they're holding kids hostage to indoctrination. And the Trojan horse of this whole agenda is families and diversity. However, you'll look in the way they frame the issue in young children's minds. They frame it around families. But these families are calling themselves gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual, and homosexual families. And you can see you have to deconstruct this agenda to the atomic level. The words and phrases they use are loaded. And when they come into the schools, and we said we want parental notification when you discuss homosexuality and affirm gay marriage, we want to be notified. And then we were told, oh, we're just talking about family. So it's a complete obfuscation of what they're actually trying to do. And it's these type of books, like King and King, that are very explicit. And when a teacher reads this to her captive audience, it is an affirmation process. The children look up to authority figures. They want to please their teachers. You remember in the days when you were thrilled to have a gold star. So it is a coercive indoctrination. They are manipulating children, sometimes in subtle ways, but they're powerful ways because they're young and impressionable.
Okay, let me ask you this. Okay, you recognize, I assume, the fact that the traditional family that many of us might have grown up in, mom, dad, dog, couple of siblings, it now takes different roles. There are families, gay people get married in Massachusetts, gay couples can adopt in Massachusetts, single parents families. I assume that you're not disputing the fact that different types of families exist, that you don't have, it doesn't have, every family is not mom, dad, and a dog and a cat and a couple of kids.
Well, that's it's a Trojan horse, okay, to affirm things. King and King is not about families. It is not about families.
How do families come together, David? It's when people
let's get both sides. That's okay.
Well, this is another thing they tell children, that homosexuality is just about love. We have examples that we want to actually get this in court. Children are coming home and saying, young children, they think they're homosexual because, like Laura says, they're in the schools and they say it's just about love.
Okay, let me hold you there for a second, because again, I want my audience to stay with us here. You guys are so deeply involved in this, and I've had a chance to read this decision. Most folks in the audience haven't. Let me just ask you. I happen to believe, as I've just said, that gay people have a right to be married. I've known gay couples. Gay couples adopt kids. There are different type families out there. Mm-hmm. I think that gays should be allowed to join the military. Okay. At the same time, I'm sympathetic to you as a parent, as I mentioned to Laura earlier, mm-hmm. that you want to be able to bring up your child in whatever way you want to bring up your child.
Right.
So just as, again, threshold question here. Do you recognize, or do you and the Worthlands, the other folks in this, recognize that there are different type family units that exist in our society today that maybe existed 50 years ago, but were not nearly as numerous 50 years ago as they are today?
I acknowledge that people's definitions of family vary greatly. Gangs consider themselves families. There's all kinds of things that you can consider families. But again, it's the Trojan horse of this. And you see before your eyes the slippery slope of this agenda, where they say they're talking about families, but what they're really doing is they're affirming and validating homosexual conduct and gay marriage. King and King is a celebration. They bring the child's mind into a celebration of gay marriage and homosexual conduct,
Okay, let me ask Laura. Do you agree with that analysis, that the book that David has in his hands or on the table is exactly what David said?
So my take on King and King is, the week that that controversy hit, my son was in the fifth grade play in his school, and it was Hans Christian Andersen, and they had The Princess and the Pea, which is the story of the prince looking for his princess. King and King is the same story. It just says that for some people, the prince finds a prince instead of a princess. And for some kids, that's true in their family. That's how their parents came together. So we have lots of stories in our schoolrooms, in our classrooms, in our culture that are about people coming, finding love and getting married. And what this just reflects is that in our town, in our school, in the school that David and his children are connected with, there are families where it was not a prince falling in love with a princess. It was the equivalent of two princesses or two princes. That is the reality of our school system. And our goal is to reflect the people who are actually in our school system.
Okay, that's fair. But now let me take it one step further with you. And that is, you know David Parker better than I do, because obviously you and he have been in this engaged in this conversation, if you will, for years. But everything that I've read about him and my observations of tonight is he's an absolutely normal guy, that he's not carrying an agenda. Can you understand, as someone who celebrates the variety, the diversity of families in Lexington, how that someone like David and his wife, who I guess have from some pretty strong either formally religious beliefs or just a moral code that disagrees with that, that is simply saying to the school, look, my understanding is he's not trying to knock the book out of the curriculum, unless I'm wrong.
We have not in this lawsuit asked to take any books out.
And that's my reading of the court's decision right today, that all he's simply saying is, look, if there's going to be a curriculum like this that is at odds with the way in which we're trying to bring up our child or children, we would like to take them out of the classroom, read the book to whoever. What's wrong with that position from your perspective,
Laura? Well, so what's wrong with it is...
It's his kid, his child.
It's a public school.
Right.
And the impact it has on other children in the classroom. So that if, for example,
child left...
Yes. What do you think the impact is? Kids already get teased about being gay.
No, but wait a second. If there's a classroom of, let's say, 20 kids, I assume Lexington
has
small...
You don't think it's a big deal in elementary school when a kid leaves the classroom?
So who is going to get teased, the child who leaves or the children who remain?
It could be either one, but what I get concerned about is that if my child, you know, if my husband and I, there was something about our child, our family, that David didn't like, that he had a strong moral position about, that he has the right to say, you have to notify me, you have to come, I'm going to take my child out. Every time my child wanted to talk about their family or there was something, now he's going to say, oh, well, if it's an official curriculum, if it's...
Well, that's I'm trying to limit it. That he's saying.
But the point is.
No, wait a second, Laura,
but what do you think the consequence? What is the message? What is the message that's
we'll
given?
We'll get to the message in a second. What I'd like to talk about is tolerance for a moment. Okay.
Tolerance.
Tolerance for a point of view of parents that might disagree with yours. You may have a wider.
But the impact of his leaving. Of one child leaving, every time Sally's family is talked about. In a culture that is dominated by talking about two-parent families, male and female.
Where are his rights?
He doesn't. That's the point of the case, is that in the public school, none of us parents have the right to say, oh, I don't like that particular thing you're teaching. And what's really disturbing to me,
these are
families that are in our school.
Yes.
These are little kids. Imagine if every time
he has the right to bring up his kids the way he wants,
he does, and he can do that in his home the way my husband and I do that.
You have the right to bring up yours.
Absolutely. And what my husband and I do is we teach our moral values.
What I'm trying to get at, Laura, is where is your tolerance for his viewpoints?
His viewpoint is allowed to be in his home. But when he comes into the school system and says, I want you to put my viewpoint in the classroom, which is what he's doing.
Let me ask you a quick question, okay? And then we got to take a break, and we'll have plenty of time to go through this. Let's assume for a moment that there was a book in the class about polygamy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Oh.
No, but it's just, let's say it was a book about polygamy, okay? And that at some point in societies, in some societies in the world today, polygamy is still acceptable, okay? And let's assume that you had a real concern with that.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, we're talking kindergartners. We're not talking about
kids in the 10th grade, right? We're talking kindergartners who have two moms.
Right.
This is the
but
thing.
We're talking about kindergartners
who are going to meet two moms.
Yeah.
What are we talking about? What's the it? What's the it?
The it is, in my opinion, the it, as I explained to you, and honestly, is where's the tolerance, the mutual tolerance? It sounds to me as if there's no tolerance for his viewpoint
wanting
may
to
or may
exclude
not.
Certain families?
No,
there's
he's not. He's simply asking that his child be excluded. He's not asking the book be removed. He's asked. Anyway, let's do this. Let's take a quick pause. We'll continue this. I'm sure it's going to get it's going to probably get a little warmer, but we're going to try to keep it on a civil level.
Absolutely.
My guest this hour, David Parker, Lexington parent. He has lost an appeal in the U.S. Court of Appeals to basically remove his child. And again, if I'm phrasing this wrong, jump in. Remove his child from a kindergarten class when there was a book that he found to be morally offensive because he felt that it's legitimizes or validates a homosexual relationship.
We put a finer point on that I can go into later. It's not just exposure. It's just not having the book. It's when an authority figure is basically validating it, affirming it in a child.
Fair enough. Laura Tully, also a Lexington parent who has a seventh grader in the school system now, represents a group called Lexington Cares, and they basically have prevailed. Their point of view has prevailed in front of the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. This arguably, I guess, could eventually go up to the U.S. Supreme Court, but for the moment, they have carried the day legally in a decision I read today. And basically what that says is that the parent, once they submit, they allow the child to go to the public school, they have lost that ability to withdraw the child when something is being taught or alluded to or exposed, whatever verb you want to use, in the classroom that they strongly object to on either moral or religious grounds. The number 617-254-1030. What we're going to ask tonight, folks, is that when you call in on this subject, because I think there'll be a lot of folks on both sides, we would really like questions or comments fairly brief, fairly succinctly. Normally, I can let calls go 6 or 7 minutes. Not going to let you do it on this one. Summon your thought. Get your point of view as concise as you can. We'll take some phone calls. We'll continue with our conversation with David Parker and Laura Tully. Very interesting conflict between, again, the interest of the school system to promote diversity and tolerance within a community for various and sundry lifestyles versus the interest of parents to have their children taught or have their home teaching of their children not be conflicted in formal classroom education, formal classroom settings. This is Nightside with Dan Ray. I can't think of a more interesting subject. I guess I can think of some, but this is one of the most interesting subjects and a great legal conflict between two significant rights. 617-254-1030. Be back after this.
Nightside. Dan Ray, WBZ News Radio, 1030. Austin's newest hit, Nightside, with Dan Ray, WBZ News Radio, 1030.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. 929 in Boston, Massachusetts. This is WBZ Radio, 1030 on your AM dial. You always can get us on the web, too, folks, WBZ1030.com. We're talking about, I think, a fascinating conflict of interest. My old constitutional law professor, Professor Beisel, Albert Beisel, long since passed at Boston University Law School, used to talk about irreconcilable conflicts, and I think that we have pretty close to one of those irreconcilable conflicts here. Laura Tully representing a group, I think, called Lexington Cares. She's a Lexington parent.
Yes.
Who they are very concerned about issues of tolerance and diversity and acceptance of various family styles, lifestyles within their community. I'm sorry, you're laughing.
No, I'm just saying they're not lifestyles. They're actual families with real children, and lifestyles make it seem like it's a choice or something. I mean, these are real families that love their children the way David and I love our children and love their spouses and partners and love their kids. And they have a right to expect that when their kids go to school, that their kids will be safe and welcomed. And one of the ways to do that is to include their kids in the materials in the school. Well, and that's what they're asking for.
Right. From what I'm hearing, and again, we want to get to the calls, I don't think that he's asking, David Parker is asking, that these children not feel welcomed, and that even literature that he maybe is offended by as a parent who disagrees with, again, these family constructs, lifestyles, whatever you want to call it, he just simply wants to say that he does not want his child, who at the time happened to be in kindergarten, 5 or 6 years of age, exposed to something that was in conflict with what he and his wife were teaching in their home.
Well,
I think
that's exactly, and the crux of this case is the kids are young and impressionable. I want to address a point about this welcoming and safe. Again, it's all a Trojan horse.
Go right up on that microphone, by the way. Don't get away from that microphone. Go ahead.
There is this notion of teaching tolerance. tolerance is a one-way street in Lexington, and tolerance is only a concept being used to push one ideology. If you have to take one child out of the room, that is an excellent opportunity to teach tolerance, because intrinsic in teaching tolerance, you have to teach, there's two points of view, there's a disagreement. They are not telling the children that. They'll say to children when they have questions, well, gay marriage is legal, and that's the end of it. They know very well that young children cannot discern between legality and morality. They're teaching moral lessons under the disguise of legality. Look, prostitution is legal in Nevada. That doesn't mean you should talk about it on career day in kindergarten.
Well, the difference is that there aren't prostitutes, in kindergarden.
My son doesn't know there are homosexuals unless I have somebody getting in his face and saying, we have a lesbian family. He has seen lesbians in the school. He doesn't automatically think two women walking together are lesbians, right, unless you have some teacher in his face indoctrinating
him
and reading these books.
He's not listening to the kids in his school who talk about their two moms.
Kids talk about pink elephants in the sky. Kids do not have the...
David, what is the issue about your child knowing that there are families in your school that have two mothers? What's the issue with that? That's the reality,
we
David.
We will teach our children at our own pace at the appropriate time.
Well, then you have a problem because they're out on the playground, David, and they're talking to each other.
How judgmental are you sounding, Laura, when you tell him he has a problem? I mean, I don't think that language is...
No, I'm sorry.
Tolerant language.
No. I meant he has a problem. You have a difficult situation.
Different
parents bring up their children in different fashions.
Absolutely, but my point is, Dan and David, is that the reality is your children are in a school where there are kids who have two moms.
Let me ask you this. Go ahead.
So I'm just saying that I don't understand this notion that somehow... That's the reality of where your children
are.
Do you think
that there are people in Lexington, Laura, who engage in sadomasochistic activity and behavior in loving relationships?
So what we're talking about, Dan, is in the first few years in school in Massachusetts, there's a lot of focus on families. That's part of the curriculum. And what we're saying is we need to reflect the families as kids understand them.
But my only question
when we're looking at who's in a family, it's showing kids in family situations that are age appropriate. King and King, I can understand why David's uncomfortable with it, but it's comparable to lots of other fairy tale books.
Well, let me get back to my question about family.
I don't know where sadomasochism comes
in. Let's assume that there could be a loving family in which mom and dad, or mom and mom.
But I don't want to have this.
Why don't you listen to my question?
Okay. But what's your point of your question?
Well, my question is that it's conceivable that within Lexington or with any community, you could have a variety of lifestyles or families, which might be at some different level. Okay. And all I'm just saying is that if, let us say, little Johnny in the playground is talking to little Billy and saying, oh, gee, on weekends, mom and dad get dressed up in leather outfits and they have a grand time or they have some friends come over, blah, 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 blah. Does that mean then that if, let us say, a book about a sadomasochistic relationship was in kindergarten, that he also, and if that was a family, that he would not have a right to object to that, or you would not have a right to object to that?
I think
I've stunned you with the question, Laura.
Because I'm appalled, to be quite honest.
Well, I'm appalled, too.
I'm appalled that when we're talking about families...
No, we're not. We're talking about homosexual conduct and gay marriage, and you know it.
Well, and how is that... These are families that have, you know, two women as the leading family, two men.
Nothing wrong with it. Laura, let me get on the record. I am in favor... this is Dan Ray talking about if a gay couple get... I'm in favor of gay couples getting married. I'm in favor... I'm in favor of gay couples if they want to adopt children. I'm in favor of gays in the military.
When their kids come into the school, you think it's okay for other people to say, you know, we're so disturbed by the fact of your family that when your family is discussed in the school system, we want our son taken out. And
no,
you don't think that has an impact on your friend's
kids?
No,
what I'm saying to you is this. Okay, that is how tolerant I am, but I'm also tolerant of his right and his wife's right to raise their kids in whatever way they want. And we're not talking about a different way of teaching algebra or a different way of teaching math or, you know, the Chicago math system versus something else. We've got to take a break. I promise we'll get to the phone calls. 617-254-1030. The question is, how far do we stretch here and whose rights are upheld? 617-254-1030. I think the analogy that I raised is one that you need to think about, because you know what? Maybe 20 years from now, a lifestyle that all of us might look at today as really out there may be much more acceptable 20 years from now, frankly. 617-254-1030. And there may be people who have loving families who are engaged in behavior that you and I might be a little shocked by. If possible. Be back on Nightside with Dan Ray after this.
Nightside. Dan Ray. WBZ News Radio 1030. Nightside with Dan Ray. WBZ News Radio 1030.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes before 9 o'clock. Let's go to the calls. The phones have been lit up for a while. Again, folks, we would ask you to be a little brief. If you have a question or a comment, you want to direct it directly to someone, let's try to make, let's have no personal attacks. Let's try to keep this on a level of intelligent conversation. Bruce and Quincy. Bruce, you're first this hour on Nightside with Dan Ray, along with David Parker and with Laura Tully.
Hi, Dan. You're doing a great job. And hi, David and Laura.
How
are
you doing?
Laura, you were saying that, you know, homosexuality is not a choice, and I suppose, apparently, you probably believe it's unchangeable. But one man and one woman, I think we can all agree, is diversity of the sexes. And it's gender-inclusive. Heterosexuality is gender-inclusive. Homosexuality does not tolerate diversity or equality of the sexes when it comes to love. Now, you may say, well, gay men, you know, like women and vice versa, but when it comes to love and marriage, homosexuality is totally, unchangeably intolerant of the diversity of the opposite sex.
So what point are you trying to get at, Bruce, if I could ask?
Well, this is, you know, I'm just trying to help her to understand, you know.
Yeah, but that's a choice that if two guys make a decision or two women make a decision, they want to commit themselves to a faithful, monogamous relationship for the rest of their lives. It's none of my business, and I don't think it's any of your business. At least that's where I'm coming from. I don't even think David would think it's us.
No. What I'm saying is that you know, I'm sure David, you know, kind of thinks this way, you know, may think this way too, that he likes to see the diversity of men and women in marriage and leadership of the home, and not gender exclusive men, you know, two men who always exclude women and women who always exclude men.
But how does that relate to what we're talking about? I'm trying to get at Bruce's head.
Well, I think what he's trying to say is one thing, the drum that's beat in what I see as an agenda is diversity, is this notion of gender diversity. And I think what's being said is we have beliefs, foundational beliefs, that the most important gender diversity is a man and a woman in a child's life as a template for their lives. That's real diversity. That's bringing together opposite sexes. I think, you know.
But that doesn't give you the right to make a judgment on a gay couple.
No. No one's making a judgment. No one's. All I'm saying is that, is, you know, by the
definition. I feel like I'm on Laura's side in this one. Go ahead.
By the definition of homosexuals from themselves.
Yeah. Well, no, we understand the point you're making. We do understand the point you're making.
And
we're just trying to go.
You know, and right. And most homosexual families that I know.
Homosexual
have,
families. There you go.
Well, they are families, and they're. But I'm
and they
saying,
are homosexual, and you want to make sure you can tell little kids that.
Because those families are in our school system. That's all.
I never came into the school and said, oh, by the way, five-year-old children, I'm a heterosexual parent from a heterosexual family.
No, but do you have a problem with the school? Because I didn't read your position that way. You, I mean, may not like it, but you're not trying to prevent the school from exposing different type families to kids, from what I understand. You're simply asking to take your child from that situation.
Again, it's the terminology makes no sense. It makes no sense. They're using it, and they call it transgender families. They even say bisexual families. You can see it on all the GLAD literature.
I guess,
and this is how they
do
it. Because,
but in the books that we have, we show families with two moms. So I used homosexual because this is a group of adults, and that's the conversation we're having. But what we show is families where some people have two moms, some people have two dads, some people are raised by their grandparents. It's reflecting the diversity.
Bruce, I appreciate your call. Thank you much. You held on a long time. I hope you made your points. Thank you.
All right, could I Okay.
We're just going to get to as many folks as we can, Bruce, okay? It's going to be a subject with a lot of callers, so I appreciate your brevity. Thank you. 617-254-1030. Again, just a clarification. You're not trying to stop these books or this presentation in the curriculum.
We have not in this lawsuit. We're not banning any
books. You might
not
be happy with it.
No, it's a case of an adult authority. Look, a GLSEN workshop leader came into the school and Laura was there. This is, and the way Laura is talking about Gay, Lesbian, Straight Educational Network, and they laid out the plans, and they said, we want to get the homosexual couple and put it in front of children to acclimate them to homosexuality. So they're using the family as a vector for this. They know very well what they're doing. Inculcating, putting in front the constant images and constant language.
But as I understand your lawsuit, you are not trying to prevent that book from being read in classrooms in Lexington. I understand your position.
You might not
be happy with it.
That is not what's in the law. You are correct. That's not what's in the lawsuit. That's correct.
Okay. Am I correct in the reading of the lawsuit there, Laura? I mean, he may not be happy with it. But he's simply
there's a lot of things in the curriculum that
notification
but there's a lot of things in the curriculum that we're both unhappy with that we both may not agree. But there is an agenda, and GLSEN and the teachers have been trained to create spontaneous teaching moments for the purposes of indoctrination. And he said, well, we need teacher-initiated discussions on this. Look, I can quote the author to even the benign book, Who's in a Family.
So,
Robert Scutch said on NPR, I wrote the whole book to get this in the minds and awareness of children before they know there is any other way. And then he went on to call me a bigot. That's what's going on in these schools.
Okay, I'm going to get back to the calls. We got Julie from Lexington. Julie, welcome. You're on Nightside with Dan Ray.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I do not have children in the school system. I am a heterosexual woman, and what I want you to know is that I feel terribly sorry. I've followed this case all along, and I feel terribly sorry for the Parker's child. Heaven forbid, if he should grow up to be gay, he probably will be very suicidal if he's not already. And I really
want to know
whose agenda it is.
Julia, are you a psychologist?
I'm a psychotherapist, yes.
I see.
I'm actually a grief and loss therapist.
Do you normally, Julie, let's have a conversation. We've had these calls before.
I want her to keep my son out of it, though.
Julie, I'm going to ask you a question, Julie, okay? You're not going to talk over me. I'm not going to talk over you. Bring her back up. We're going to have a conversation. I just was wondering if you normally diagnose people over the radio, people who you haven't met. But go ahead with your comment. Keep the sun out of it.
No. All right. I will. No, I don't. What I do, however, is pick up a very, very kind, and I am not accepting the fact that David Parker did not have a say in all of this. He knew, everybody knows, who moves to Lexington. Unless you're born in the house, you know that it's a very progressive, and when I say progressive, what I mean by that...
Julie, can you formulate a question?
It's a very progressive school
okay,
system.
Good night, Julie. Again, folks, we're going to ask for some brevity, and we're going to ask for some questions or some directed comments. We're not looking for psychotherapy or psychobabble. I've had Julie on before as a caller, and she's difficult to have a conversation with. Let's go back to the calls. Let's go to Jim in Natick. Jim, welcome. You're on Nightside with Dan Ray, along with David Parker and Laura Tully.
I definitely agree with David that this is definitely an indoctrination, and I believe that the politically correct crowds here are just like trying to get their point across. Gay marriage, once that law passed, it just opened Pandora's box. It's a shame, and I'd like to really have Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson, what would they say if this came up?
Well, we don't know. They're dead. Can we get a question, or do you want to direct a question or a comment to Laura, who I assume you disagree with?
Yes, I definitely disagree.
No, do you want to direct a question or a comment to her? That's what we're trying to do here, is get everybody in this conversation. Feel free to throw a question or an idea at Laura. We'll get her response, Jim.
Yes, Laura, you want this to happen. What if NAMBLA decided to come in and talk to the school? Would you agree with that as well?
Okay, that's a direct question. Let's get Laura's response. Jim, thanks for the call, and thank you for the brevity of the question. Good question. What about if NAMBLA said, gee, we want to come in, and we have a point of view, and we'd like to express ourselves in the school system?
Teaching children about the reality of the world we live in, using your language.
No, let go ahead, Laura. Go ahead. What do you think? And by the way, for the audience that doesn't, as you gather your thought, for the audience that is not, that's the National Association of Man Boy Love Association, I think.
So I would not be in support of that, as, you know, that's pedophilia, which is something completely different. So I wouldn't support that. So
that's something, again, in responding to Jim's question, you should not think kids should be exposed to. What about if they wanted to come in and talk to the high school kids?
I would probably feel the same way.
Okay, fair enough. 617-254-1030 is the phone number. Let's go, and again, at least we get Jim to ask a question. Let's go to good question. Mike in Merrimack.
Hello, this is Mike from the Merrimack Valley Marriage and Family Chapter. I want to just quickly personally thank David for coming out to the Leominster area this past weekend to expose his truth, and I will continue to host such events in order for the truth to be told. Now, just due to the fact that that school systems should not and have not up until now taught tolerance and acceptance under the schoolhouse, and only this should only be taught with parents.
Well, wait a second. I'm going to put you to the same test as I put Julie from Lexington. Can I get a question or a comment directed to either David or to Laura?
This one's to Laura. Due to the fact that, you know, tolerance and acceptance should not be taught under the schoolhouse, and it never has been, what are the benefits to teaching young, impressionable minds about the dangerous behaviors of homosexuality?
So,
I don't understand that question. Let me help Laura here for a second. You're suggesting, Mike, that the concept of tolerance should not be a part of the school curriculum in any way, shape, or form? Is that what you... That's what I understood your question. That's what you believe?
Correct.
So, should they teach intolerance?
No. I'm saying, besides the typical answer of it's for tolerance and acceptance purposes, I want to know from Laura, what are the benefits to teaching homosexuality to young, impressionable children?
So, two things. One is that actually the schools actually are expected to teach tolerance. They are supposed to prepare children for the wide variety of people they're going to meet in the world. That's the first point. The second point is what we teach is children about a wide variety of families. And some families are, you know, people are living with their grandparents. Some families have mother and father like my family and David's family. Some families have two moms. That's what we're teaching children about.
And I say they're teaching validation and affirmation of homosexual conduct and gay marriage. And
even
the judges admit this. If you really read the rulings, it is a fair inference that the reading of King and King was precisely intended to influence the listening children toward tolerance of gay marriage. Tolerance to these people is not tolerance. It is a validation.
But gay marriage is now legal in Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
Like I said, prostitution is not legal in Nevada. Well, actually, it isn't. The legislature now has a bill to sign it into law. It's actually technically not a law.
Well, it is not a law. It's case law.
It's a legal ruling.
It's a state Supreme Court decision.
Yeah, but
decision.
But why do they have a bill to actually write the law?
Well, there's nothing wrong with codifying. I speak as a lawyer. There's nothing wrong with codifying a law. I mean, you know, Loving versus Virginia,
Loving versus Virginia has nothing to do with. It only has to do with the blacks and marriage.
Yeah,
sexual orientation.
Let me try to explain that, Mike. Just as I tried to explain it to Julie from Lexington, there's a leading Supreme Court case that dealt with interracial marriage, which basically threw out a law in the state of Virginia. I don't know if the state legislature at some point has then codified that decision.
There is a
Supreme
process
Court,
of that.
The Supreme Court decision. Mike, thank you. Again, you made your points. I appreciate it. You asked your question, and I appreciate your directness.
Thank you.
Thanks. 617-254-1030. Want to try to be as fair as we can to both sides tonight. 617-254-1030. Nightside with Dan Ray. Give us a call. I'll be back after this.
Nightside. Dan Ray. WBZ News Radio 1030. This is Nightside on WBZ News Radio 1030.
617-254-1030. We are talking about parental rights versus the need for tolerance and diversity within the context of a public school system. I don't know if there's any other way more simply to say that. My guest, David Parker, a parent who has lost a lawsuit at the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals, very well may end up going up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and Laura Telly, a parent from Lexington who feels that the concept of diversity and tolerance outweighs the right of David Parker to pull his child out of kindergarten or first or second grade when there are subjects that are being discussed, or in David's opinion, taught more affirmatively, and that is the conflict we have tonight. Let's try to get at least one more call in. Let's go to Wilbur in Maryland. Wilbur, welcome. You're next on WBZ Radio. Nightside with Dan Ray, along with David Parker and Laura Telly.
You don't have to be an extremely religious person to be concerned about the following scenario. The most predominant religion in this country views homosexual behavior as a sin, and those people engaging in it as committing a sin. So I ask the proponent of this indoctrination, when you go and you teach people about these various lifestyles, do you show any regard or any respect for many students in that classroom who are being indoctrinated by their freedom of religion to believe that homosexuality is wrong and that it's a sin?
But let me just interrupt Wilbur for one second and give Laura a chance to collect her thoughts on that. There may be a lot of folks who think that homosexual behavior is a sin, but that might be irrelevant what you think of someone else's behavior. But I want to get Laura to Let Laura to jump in.
And see if she's got a tolerant view on others' religious beliefs.
Well, nothing prevents people from teaching their children their beliefs at home, which is what my husband and I do with our son, which is what we do when we bring our son to church. That is up to the parents to do, and as David said, I'm sure there are things we both disagree with that might be taught in the school that we would teach. The concern I have is when there are children in the school system who have different kinds of families, it's important they already feel they're already different from others, and they can feel more at risk. And so it's important for them to see themselves in the books just like everybody else gets to see their families.
Wilbur, you're going to have to accept that answer because we got a break for news. I hope you'll call again. I apologize. We kind of tried to squeeze you in there, but we'll be back with more of this conversation with David Parker, Laura Tully, right after the 10 o'clock news with Mary Blake. Radio, the best way in America to communicate.
You do a great job here on BZ Radio.
The problem with politics, as usual, in Beacon Hill is that we're paying for it, we're out there working, and we're so busy working, we don't know what's going on in Beacon Hill.
You know, Dan, this is the first time I've heard your show, and I really enjoyed you.
I don't want to see anyone elected that lusts to be president of the United States.
Nightside.
What bothers you?
Nightside.
I want to hear from you.
Nightside.
You are the audience.
Nightside. Dan Ray. 617-254-1030. WBZ News Radio 1030.
Hey, and welcome back, everyone. It is coming up to about 7 minutes after 10 o'clock. Mary Blake, thank you very much for the 10 o'clock news. We are talking about a pretty volatile issue this hour, and it deals with a parent, David Parker, who has lost a lawsuit here in the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, U.S. Court of Appeals for the First Circuit. He has objected to his son being in a classroom where homosexual relationships, again, the terminology is always important how you phrase the question here, were discussed with the introduction of a book called The King and King. Is that it, the name of the book?
That's one of the books. There are books in every classroom.
Okay. Yeah. Laura Tully here is also a Lexington parent. She has a seventh grader in the school system, and she feels that the interest of tolerance and diversity and exposing children to various types of family structures. I'm trying to find a word that we both agree with.
I would say is reflecting the families that are in our schools, so the kids who are in those families feel safe and seen in the school system.
Those books can be read by their own parents multiple times. I happen to know that homosexual families, I'm going to call them that, in Massachusetts get together. They know very well they're not the only ones in Lexington. These books are available in the library. Their parents are free to take them home and read them as many times as they want to their kids.
Let me, if I can, you at one point, again, just to, once we get back to the calls, I think the hour's going to go very quickly,
yeah.
But
yeah.
Just to tie up a loose end here or two, David, you were arrested. You actually, I think, went to the school and at some point were arrested. How did the school officials treat you generally, and how did the arrest occur, and what happened on the arrest?
Well, in a period of, the diversity book bag came up, home with Who's in a Family by Robert Scutch, and that... we had no idea, just because there's gay marriage, that they're going to try to expose something that we didn't even talk to our children about this yet.
And your children are in kindergarten.
They were at the time. Okay. So we tried to work with the administration for over 4 months. And let me tell you a couple things that happened. It built to a crescendo to the arrest. The former principal, when we were trying to work things out with her by email, put a spam block on our communication, so none of our emails can go through. I figured out
that
how...
That wasn't very tolerant.
Well, that... No, and that... It wasn't only... It's actually illegal. But she put a spam block when we were trying to work things, and I figured out how she did it. The word homosexuality was spam blocked. Now, get what's happening here.
I've never heard this. This is the
she
first
admitted,
I've ever heard of this.
It's amazing when people find out what they
listen
to.
Isn't it?
It would be great to get into discovery so all these additional facts could be known, but they won't let us get it into court. And she admitted it. We called her up, and I took the word homosexuality, I took out the E and put a dash. And then at the bottom of the page, I said all E's, all dashes equal E's. Then our letters were going through. And then we called her up, and I said, did you put a spam block? And she goes, yes.
That's very tolerant.
And so I knew...
She the one that asked you to be arrested?
She asked him to be arrested because he refused to leave until he got his way. That's what happened.
I refused to...
Were you there for the arrest?
I've read the police reports, and it's very consistent.
Well, look, there was a lot said. They picked and chose out of 3 hours. I was going to leave with parental... And in fact, they agreed to give me parental notification. Did you know that?
They agreed to give of what sort?
I said, let's just do it till the end of the year because I wanted to make it very simple for them. And the director of education was there, Ravenel, and he goes, this seems reasonable. Let me get the former superintendent on the phone. So I waited. I waited in there, and I thought, okay, they're going to accommodate just a little bit. This is, at least we have done something. They came back, they called the cops, and then had me arrested. And so, but you see how they're playing with my mind. Also, Tom Griffith, the former chairman of the school committee, this was before the arrest, he said, we're going to put this all throughout the curriculum. We're not going to give parental notification or opt-out because, quote, we can't trust parents with these issues. That is an arrogant statement. In other words, they are usurping the parental authority and role out from under us. That's truly what's happening.
Do you trust parents, Laura, with these issues? Do you trust David with this issue?
Don't you think I can effectively teach tolerance to my child without influencing him, as Sandra Lynch said? They're just influencing the children to change their minds. It's not really coercive. We're just, and Mark Wolf said, he quoted the book Changing Minds. Changing Minds, they're trying to change minds, and admitted it, of my child concerning homosexual conduct and a gay marriage.
I have a bias. I think Judge Wolf is a great judge. Just so you know.
Can I just?
He may be, but his judgment was poor in this case.
I haven't read his decision. I've read the appellate court decision.
What we're talking about are relationships. What we're talking about relationships, and the books preceded gay marriage because there were families in our school. That's what the books are about, and. Sorry, I got sidetracked by the whole the wolf. When we talk about removing kids from the classroom, first of all, it's extremely disruptive, and it's the thin edge, so what else is it going to be? It could be endless numbers of things. But the concern I have is there's a child in our school who was in fourth grade whose family is, her guardian is a lesbian. And she was so picked on at school in Lexington because of this that she ended up switching elementary schools. You know, in fourth grade, you're almost done. You're almost into fifth grade.
Is that the one that came from Harrington? Did she come from Harrington?
She came from another school.
Okay, because there was a case of a child in one of the schools from a lesbian family going, I have two moms, I have two moms, I had two moms. And they were very concerned for this child because I don't know what her parents were telling her at home. But, you know, basically people are migrating to Esterbrook is what we found out.
Well, there's a lot of stuff that goes on.
But the point was that she was feeling very unsafe.
Okay.
And so we talk about parental rights. What about the rights of children?
Let me finish.
The rights of children who come from different families to feel that their families are reflected in the school curriculum? The vast 99% of the books, right, or 95% of the books, you know, moms and dads, right? And maybe there are some single parents, and maybe there are some divorced parents, and you know, but the vast majority. So this whole notion
clearly
of indoctrination
no one wants any child, I think, in any school to be humiliated. I don't think there's anyone who's a rational person who would feel that. At the same time, I think that we would have to recognize that elementary school playgrounds can be amongst the cruelest petri dishes that any of us have ever been exposed to. If we're non-athletic, we're always picked last for the sporting event.
Right, but there are things the schools can do to help reduce that. It's never going to get to zero.
And no one should be made fun of, okay? But again, if
everyone else's kind of family gets talked about, and your family never gets talked about, right?
But again, he's not saying. But again, I guess where I'm diverging.
Well, Dan, imagine you're a teacher, and every time you want to use a book that includes a family with two moms dads, relationships, family, you've got to call up the Parkers, and you've got to say
you could have a classroom email, which would simply say hit one button.
They have parental notification for all kinds of issues. They don't want to give parental notification.
We have it for the classes, the health classes.
There's a ton of notifications that come home almost every week. Letter. You could just say
that you can take your child out of the class.
To alert us, part of this is parental notification. It's just not taking the child out. We may not choose to do it, but we want the right to be the primary director. We want to sit down with our kids if they're going to read this, and I think they're ready. And I'm going to go through it first, and I know all the things that teachers do, the tricks they do to trick the children. And then he can be prepared to go in the class, prepared, framed around our beliefs. They don't want
me. But as a kindergarten student, I don't see how you can even deal with this.
No, it's not.
Deal with what? Well, what's the it? Can you tell me, Dan, what's the it?
Well, most kindergarten students, the only thing they're worried about is what crayons am I going to use? I mean, my children, who are now in college and high school, at the age of 5, which is kindergarten, the discussions of sexuality,
but what they're talking about is families.
I understand
So when they talk about moms and dads, are they talking about heterosexuality?
No, you know very well that the health curriculum framework says that the child has to discuss sexual orientation using terminology. No, that's incorrect. It's kindergarten through fifth grade. And the teachers, and in these cases, they're coming back. We can inculcate
at
any time.
Who's in a family, for example, is talking about families?
No, we're not just talking about that. We're talking about books in every classroom.
Let me do this, but I want to get back to the phone calls. You guys are both very good, and as I say, I'm trying to be as fair as I possibly can here because I feel that you and I agree on some issues that David and I would disagree on, but I think the ultimate issue for me is always, as a libertarian, is the individual, the rights of the individual. That's where I'm coming down. Let's go to Rachel in Lexington. Rachel, you're next on WWBZ, Rachel.
I wanted to just address David Parker's use of the word homosexual conduct, and also your asking Laura regarding the sadomasochism. And I wanted to say that that's talking about behaviors, and that's not what we're talking about in the Lexington public schools. In the Lexington schools, we're talking about families. And we're not, just as Laura just said, when you're showing a mom and a dad in a book, you're not talking about their private behaviors. You're talking about families.
I understand the distinction you're trying to make. Why don't you direct a question or comment to David so he can respond?
Right. I was just really directing the comment to both you and David, and when you said that about the sadomasochism, a behavior.
Then since you're directing it to me, Rachel, let me react, okay, to that.
Okay, great.
Okay? There are people who could have different relationships, sadomasochistic relationships. There could be people who engage in, you know, swinging activities, swinging parties, or whatever. There could be people who could engage in something that, you know, is a different sort of family lifestyle. There could be a polygamous relationship.
But sadomasochism is a sexual behavior. We're not talking
not
about sexual behavior.
Not necessarily. I assume that there could be people who could stride around on weekends wearing all sorts of outlandish garb. There could be exhibitionists. I think sometimes people who maybe I'm going to get sadomasochist calling now might want to shock and titillate or thrill.
You might be offending them, and you should be more tolerant.
Yes, and they may not be engaged. They may spend the entire weekend dressed up in chaps and spurs. I don't know about that. All I know is that I'm not necessarily equating sadomasochistic lifestyles with purely the sexuality of it. No, I'm not saying
right,
that at
well,
all. But
well,
there could
I,
be there could be a child whose parents are into leather and bondage, okay, and with
and that's a conduct wearing
no.
leather and bondage
wearing no I would say that's
a
status
conduct. We're talking about people, and so when I have a question, when you're reading a book about a mom and a dad, are you talking about their sexual conduct any more than you're talking about the sexual conduct of the two men that are shown
no,
in Who's
why don't
the
we
Family?
Have, why don't we
There's
have a,
no discussion
no,
of their conduct.
Rachel, why don't we have a book that doesn't talk about conduct, but talks about different people dressed differently than maybe most Lexington
but why
parents?
Are we, so,
I mean, we could. I'm just saying, I think it can be the concept can be expanded a little bit. That's all I'm saying.
Well, they refuse to admit that homosexuality is a human sexuality issue. They continually, and I hope the listeners see this, try to frame it around families. Families, families, families. We come in, we say, don't affirm gay marriage, don't affirm homosexual conduct. We're just talking
What's
about families.
What's homosexual conduct to you, David? What do you mean by homosexual conduct?
I think most people would know.
I want to know what he... No, I actually don't know what he means.
No,
I'm not
okay.
being sarcastic.
Fine, okay.
Seriously.
That is interesting. Homosexual conduct is the eros love, in the Greek terminology,
mm-hmm.
the erotic sexual love. You're not telling children that. You're just saying
that's right.
It's
We're
about,
not telling children.
It's about, but you're tricking them because
how are we tricking?
Because
them?
Homosexuality is a sexual proclivity. What you do, you provide a foundation to indoctrinate them here. And by the way, a teacher called me from Lexington High School and said to me, David, you have got to keep going with this lawsuit. They're teaching children in high school sodomy, how to sodomize. Now, see, you first have to build a foundation. You have to first convince children that homosexuality is equal to heterosexuality.
I wish they did more math and English.
Well, that's the thing.
Rachel, I thank you for your call. I thank you for your point. I appreciate it very much. It's always good to hear tonight, particularly from folks in Lexington.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go to Heidi in Lexington. Heidi, welcome. You're next on BZ Radio with Dan Wright.
Hi, thank you very much. I actually don't know either of your guests. And I'm not involved with either of their groups necessarily, but I do have a first grader. And my question is to Mr. Parker. He talked a little bit about the idea of how they would, you know, how it detailed what his case would do. And I wonder how he would handle two gay parents who volunteered in the classroom. Because in Lexington, many parents volunteer.
Okay, that's a good question.
And would they not, let me, if I can sort of expound on that.
Oh, sure, go ahead. That's a good question.
When I volunteered in my son's kindergarten class, they said, this is so-and-so's mother, right? And I assume that if two gay parents happened to be there, they would say, this is so-and-so's mother and so-and-so's mother. Does that need to have parental notification?
It does not.
Then why is that any different? Isn't that validating?
No, because when a teacher... Look, we know, you know very well, and others know very well, what GLSEN has said to you people. I was in
but the... I'm not even speaking. The thing is,
but GLSEN comes into the schools and say, this is the way we normalize homosexuality. You have to get the images in front of children. This was Joe Pfeiffer of the Leslie Ellis Elementary School, and he even said... You know, and to really make up for it, I really inundate the room with these images because the children, when they see two men together, like your mom and dad, then it provides an acceptance to them. And that they think that's what tolerance is. Look, and how about if an ex-gay family came in and said, I'm ex-gay? being gay is not non-changeable. It is not, you know, look, they don't want that. Why can't you call your family an ex-gay family and then have the ex-gay perspective? They will not allow that.
Heidi, what, again, I don't want to carry the sadomasochistic theory a little longer, but what about if some parent wanted to come in and they wanted to be dressed in a, you know, in a leather outfit?
Well, I think that, to be honest with you, you know, Dan, I think that that's probably within the volunteer handbook. You know, when I went to my volunteer training, you know, the expectation is that you would dress professionally. It's not...
Oh, but someone might say from that point of view, they're being say, look, this is the way I normally dress. I wear chaps.
But you're implying that they're, you know...
I don't see the connection, honestly. I think that...
I would have... No, by the way, just let you know, Heidi, just where I'm coming from. I think the question you phrased, if a couple of parents happen to come in... Normally, my experience with elementary school was that one parent would come
in... That's usually what happens. But she's trying to create a scenario.
Okay.
You know?
My husband and I used to be there every year
and
for our son's
birthday. And I wouldn't have a problem if they... Because they're going to be parent teachers' nights. They're going to be graduations... where, you know, children are introduced.
David,
I don't have a problem with that.
Would you take, in my
and
son's school...
And David said he would have a problem with it.
David, our kids go to different schools, but in our school, every year, for at least the first few years, there was like, you know, my son Simon had his day, and he talked about his family, and he talked all about that. So would you want parental notification if it was the family of a child who had
I think a teacher is very capable and knowledgeable about knowing when a line is being crossed. What Glisson has told the teachers and trained them is when you put two men in front of little children, it's foreign to their world, and what you do, they will raise their hand and say, two men being together... What do you mean, two men being together? And that's exactly what this book did, by the way.
So I don't know what, you know...
But this is, you have to see the deviousness. And then they say this, that creates a spontaneous teaching moment.
So teaching moment is about the fact that there are two mommies of somebody in the school.
No, and then they say what to say next when children, you know, will say, oh, two men can't get married.
Were you at a lot of Glisson meetings? Or?
Again, if I could just make one more comment.
Heidi, go ahead very quickly, Heidi.
I just wanted to say, I mean, you know, we got that book back last year, and to be honest with you, that book, Who's in the Family, could not have been tamer. I read through
it. It's not about one book.
Except that, you know what? I think that you are ascribing some sort of devious plot where...
It is.
I honestly can't see where that is. And, you know, I appreciate that there are multiple opinions, and I appreciate that, and thanks for letting me share my views.
You're very welcome. Thank you for the call, Heidi. 617-254-1030. A little behind on our break here. We'll take some commercial messages. We'll be back with more with David Parker, Laura Tully, on an issue that obviously strikes at a lot of folks' emotions. Again, I want to thank virtually all of the callers and most of the callers for being as capable of phrasing questions, challenging questions, as you have tonight. 617-254-1030. Back after this.
Nightside. Dan Ray, WBZ News Radio, 1030. Nightside with Dan Ray, WBZ News Radio, 1030.
And welcome back, everyone. It's 10:30. Hope you're enjoying this hour as much as I am. Some good calls, challenging from both sides of the spectrum on this issue, and maybe from different sides. Let's go to Paul in Walpole. Paul, welcome. You're next to Nightside with Dan Ray, along with David Parker and Laura Tully.
Hi, Dan. Thank you for taking my call.
Hello.
I've been listening to this, and I've been hearing tolerance and curriculum and parental controls. And what I'd like to know is, what if the town of Lexington decided to have a tolerance on the Second Amendment and wanted to teach children from first grade up through high school how to shoot guns? Would anybody there want to take their kids out of that class?
Paul, I think that's the best question of the night so far. I wish I had thought about that one. Laura, what say you to that?
Well, if parents wanted to take their kids out of the class, how many guns' feelings would be hurt would be my question back.
Well, how many children would be hurt if let's say their dad or their mom was an avid shooter? I think that's a pretty good question.
But shooting is a behavior.
So is homosexuality.
Homosexuality isn't a behavior?
Go ahead, Paul.
Homosexuality.
I mean, I have nephews that when they were in school, they were picked on because, quite frankly, they've learned at a very young age how to shoot. My brother-in-law is a lifetime member of the NRA. And
mm-hmm.
We taught our nephews, and he taught his sons how to shoot at a very young age. And there were parents in the school who would not want their kids to play with my nephews because there were guns in the house.
And you know what?
So,
I think that those parents, Paul, have an absolute right, and I got to tell you.
And I agree with
right,
that. Right,
and I think that if it was part of the curriculum in another time in another place, I would think parents. Again, I'm very much but that hardcore libertarian streak in me says that the individual has a right, and if I don't want my kids to learn or be introduced to be in any way, shape, or form influenced by, you know, what might some people might say the excitement of shooting a gun or whatever, a kindergarten student, if you went to most kindergarten students who would like to shoot a gun, they would say yes, they wouldn't understand the potential implications.
But we could teach them about safety. We could bring real guns into the school and teach them gun safety. After all,
exactly.
We want the children to be safe. And they could go into someone's house that might be a gun owner. So maybe we should do this. Maybe we should go to every grade and have books to acclimate children towards guns, to teach them gun safety.
Let's do this, Paul. Let me ask the question of Laura. Let me try to sharpen the question. What about if there was, let's say, forget guns in the classroom, but there was some books about how guns are good for protection or whatever, you know, sort of a pro-gun curriculum. Some school system introduced, for whatever reason, a pro-gun curriculum at a younger age.
Oh, and by the way, with no parental notification or opt-out for any children.
No.
No, but what I'm asking Laura is...
What's the purpose of it?
Safety. It will make kids more safe if they get acclimated to a gun and they realize, look, it's not the gun that's dangerous... It's not the gun. But by the way, there are hunter safety courses. I've been through them.
I totally get that.
And they could easily
Seriously, what about if there was a book that in the classroom that extolled the virtues of, a family that owned guns? And you, as a parent, didn't like the concept of your child being exposed to that. Would you want your child to be able to absent themselves from the classroom?
No, I think that's part of the deal, being in the public school.
Okay, so therefore you... Okay, so
yeah.
Laura's answer, Paul,
I have to give her credit. She answers
honestly.
She's across the board. That's the way she feels.
Well, fair enough, Paul.
You know, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Great question, Paul.
You know, the conversation we have at home is different, you know. And, you know, we're headed into the teenage years, so I know we're going to have more. This is different families have different beliefs, and so that's fine for that family, but that's not how we believe.
There would be a lot of people out there, Laura, who would not be as tolerant of Second Amendment rights and Second Amendment practices as you are.
Good day. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks,
have a good night.
Great question. 617-254-1030. Be back with more of your calls. Again, great questions on both sides tonight, or on a variety of sides from my audience. Be back after this.
Nightside. Dan Ray, WBZ News Radio, 1030. Nightside with Dan Ray, WBZ News Radio, 1030.
Welcome back, everyone. Coming up on about 24 minutes before 11 o'clock. We're going to stick with this subject until 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock, going to switch back to presidential politics, give David Parker and Laura Tully a ride. I want to again thank them for both standing in here tonight and accepting the slings and arrows of questions, outrageous and otherwise. Some good questions from both directions tonight, that's for sure. Let's go to Peter in Rowley. Peter, welcome. You're on Nightside with Dan Ray.
Hi, good evening, Dan, and hello to your guests.
Say hello to David Parker and Laura Tully. Who would you like to direct the question or comment to?
Actually, I guess it would be toward David, mostly. My question is, if you have the right to pull out your kid from a class because it's something that you don't agree with, where does it really end? I mean, if you're like somebody who's a Holocaust denier, would you be able to pull your kid out of a history class that teaches about the Holocaust?
Well, we have to make a distinction between mere exposure and the attempt to change minds and influence a child to believe a certain set of beliefs. See, that's what you need to understand. There is a bright red line there. It's like a Christian family coming in and saying, look, we're just talking about families. We're a Christian family. Now, we're going to talk about Christianity. This is a picture of Jesus Christ suffering on the cross. He died for our sins. See this calendar? It's 2008. Do you know what 2008 means, children? It's the year of our Lord. And you can see, I started by talking about a different kind of family, a Christian family. But what I went into is an indoctrination process, and there is a bright red line that can be easily delineated.
But then you can still teach your children your own beliefs at home.
And you can teach them your beliefs in your home.
But why should you be able to pull your kid out of the class just to keep them from being exposed to another opinion?
Because a teacher is an adult authority figure. And remember, it's just not pulling out. It's parental notification always precedes the opportunity to opt out. And if a parent's...
Okay, the schools doesn't believe in the Holocaust, doesn't want his kid exposed to that, then the teacher should notify him, we're teaching the Holocaust in our history class next week, so that they can pull the kid out of class?
Homosexuality is a human sexuality issue. The Holocaust was a mass murder. To compare the two is not even comparing apples and oranges.
So are you saying, though, when we talk about moms and dads, we're talking about heterosexuality?
It depends. How do you talk about them? Do you say...
Wait a minute.
Do you say that many people believe, and most of the country believes, that a man and a woman make a marriage? If that's what you're telling them, no. You should not be doing that to the children.
I'm confused by what you're saying.
Look, if you're...
In my experience, I've had friends who are gay.
So have I.
I'm trying to think of how to word what I'm trying to say here. I mean, it's not... They're choosing to be a gay person.
That's part of your ideology. In Christianity, there is a notion of the conduct being separated from the person. See, even the notion...
I was raised in the Catholic Church.
Okay.
But by being exposed to real life, I've made friends and I've learned that this is not something that they choose to do. It just happens.
Well, what about the ex-gay perspective? What about the ex-gay perspective that the homosexual community is very... I have never met somebody
who claimed they were ex-gay.
Oh, amazing. Maybe we need to go in the schools. You should have been exposed to more ex-gay people when you were in kindergarten, ex-gay families, to put forth their point of view, that it is changeable. Stephen Bennett, Exodus International, go on the websites and look.
By the way, I'm not an expert in this area at all, but I happen to believe that people are, and we're going to disagree, you and I, on this issue. I think people are wired differently. That's my own belief, and I know that there are folks out there, as you've alluded to, but I think that there are people who are wired genetically differently.
There's people who are wired to be alcoholics, take drugs, and the fact is this.
You're saying that homosexuals that's the equivalent of having a disease like alcoholism? Is that what you're saying?
I think it is It is.
You view homosexuality as a disease?
The psychological community...
Right.
Used to say it was a disorder. The point is...
But there's a difference between...
That's
what relativism does.
No, but I'm saying if my view is that a loving and caring God creates people, and some of those people he wires differently... I don't see how they could be wired.
I've talked to a lot of ex-gay people,
right.
And what they almost unanimously say, early in their childhood, a sexual trauma happened, and that traumatized them, rewiring, crossing their wires. And when they realized this and came to Lord Jesus Christ, and loving people came to them, they came out of this thing that they were caught in. We look at it as bondage.
Okay,
bondage to an urge.
And many people actually look at it as freedom, that they can be who they actually always were.
So let's agree to disagree and keep my children out of it.
However, you're in a school where there are...
But you...
That's the reality,
no, but
David.
I agree with you on some things, agree with you on some things, disagree.
Right.
I think, again, that my view is that there is someone out there that's creating us, and that loving and caring God is not inflicting a disease upon people. Clearly, I think genetically people... are wired so that they might die someday of heart disease or of lung cancer. Some of it might be developed because of their own actions, but sometimes it just happens
I think we are really degrading and being intolerant to the ex-gay movement. And
I'm not being intolerant to anybody.
Well, the thing is, but what they're saying through their experience is it is not a choice. It is not a thing that's locked in by genetics.
But there might be some people who actually find that they get that it's not locked in. But
I think
there are people
as we can see, there's a lot of different beliefs about this.
Okay, Peter, great call. Thanks for the call, for the conversation.
Thanks, Dave.
Good night. 617-254-1030. We have three from Lexington. Here we go, folks. Stan in Lexington.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're on Nightside, Stan, with Dan Ray, David Parker, and Laura Tully.
Thank you so much for taking the call. And it's interesting, as I was listening to the discussion of the ex-gay movement, David, you do understand that the American Psychiatric Institute says that your views would cause significant harm.
Well, according to the people that have came out of the lifestyle...
Stan, help us out here. And again, his viewpoints are going to cause harm to whom?
That the ex-gay movement is...
Well, we're not really going to... I really don't want to open up. We can do a whole show sometime on the ex-gay movement,
Stan. Well, let me
Stan.
Just go back then to...
Thank
to
you. I'd like to get back on topic tonight. Thanks. Go ahead.
Yeah. My question was, David, isn't this really about your crusade to stigmatize and marginalize gay kids and their parents?
Well, I find that extremely offensive, sir. And let me tell you. Wait a minute. Let me answer the question. Let me answer the question. Why, in my 45-year-old life, was I never involved? I mean, you think if I were on a crusade, I'd start before the age of 42? Don't you
realize that the court said that your case was frivolous, right?
No, they did not.
Excuse me. Let me jump in here, okay? Did you happen to read the decision from the First Circuit Court of Appeals?
I read them both.
Well, I've read it today, and I happen to be a lawyer. I know how to read these decisions. Nowhere will you find the word frivolous, or will you fry...
It was at the preliminary motion stage. It said it wasn't worth going forward, right?
No. There was between a motion to dismiss, you know. I don't know what law school you went to. Cases aren't dismissed just because they're frivolous. I don't think Judge Wolf used the phrase frivolous, and I know that the Circuit Court of Appeals didn't use the phrase, and I don't believe you read this decision.
I did read it. I can actually quote it to you if you'd like.
We'll quote the sentence that has frivolous in it.
That'd be perfect. Give us.
I didn't say that the case said frivolous. I said that he was bounced out of court.
Not what you said. We can go back and play the tape, Stan. Don't play games with us here. We're not going to waste time. If you have a comment or a question you want to make, that's fine. But don't throw out a phrase frivolous, because frivolous does have a legal connotation. You know, you're not talking to some schmuck here. I happen to know a little bit about the practice of the law, and I know a little bit about the meaning of words.
Well,
so don't try to run that gambit by my audience.
The court said he didn't have a legal basis for his claim, right?
The court confirmed in a 38-page decision what Judge Wolf had done. This may eventually go up to the U.S. Supreme Court, but nowhere was there a suggestion. It doesn't take appellate court judges 38 pages to dismiss something as frivolous.
Let me then go back to the basic.
Yeah, you've
point.
Wasted What's 3 minutes of airtime here, Stan. So go to something that's worthwhile, would you? Thanks very much for the call. 617-254-1030. That's a waste of airtime. We're not talking about the ex-gay movement tonight. And here we go. I'm going to be very tolerant, but I'm not going to. There's folks who want to get on and ask questions, pointed questions on both sides, which we've had tonight, and we'll continue with them. Chris in Lexington. Chris, welcome. You're on Nightside with Dan Ray, David Parker, and Laura Tully.
Hi. I have a question for David.
Go right ahead.
David, I have a biracial child, and if a classmate has to leave or any time his agenda is discussed, I'm just wondering how he might feel. And then also, I'm just wondering how often his situation would be discussed in the class if a teacher had to notify parents.
See, the thing is, what this agenda does, they've clothed themselves in the civil rights movement. They are comparing race with sexual orientation.
No, I am.
Okay, well, let me phrase.
So she's asking the hypothetical question that I've been getting all evening. So
go right ahead. That's a good question. Would you have a problem if there was a book in there about children of a biracial marriage?
No, but supposing there was a family.
No, no, what we're asking, I'm trying to ask the question. Let's just assume there's a book that talks about biracial families. Would you have a problem with that?
No.
So, but how, I do happen to have a biracial child. And if a book is read about a biracial child, and somebody is excused from the class every time anything, his so-called agenda is brought up, I'm not sure that that would be...
No, but has anyone asked that to be removed?
But her point is
has anyone asked?
But if there were a family, this is like all the questions you've been asking me, or other callers have been asking me.
Okay.
If there were a family that had an objection to biracial children, which there are plenty of in America still today, if there were a family that had an objection and said, I want the option...
That is so out of the comparison.
But that
would be like, am I going in the school and saying, I object to this child?
No, David.
See, do you see what they do? I'm not saying
I object to this child. I'm actually asking, how do you think that my son would feel if a child was allowed to leave the room whenever his agenda was brought up, number one, and number two...
What agenda are we talking about?
Wait a minute. And number two, how often... Do you think that, how often do you think that a teacher would be compelled to talk about it if she or he had to notify a parent first?
Chris, by the way, let me just say this, Dan Ray. I think you've raised a very good question, just as I think Paul from Walpole raised a very good question about Second Amendment rights. I think you've raised a very good question here. I must tell you that as somebody who firmly believes in individual rights, and parents' rights, I would draw a distinction in my mind, because I do believe that I know that there are people out there who cloak their racist attitudes in some form of religious perspective. But I don't think it's a fair, in my opinion, a fair comparison. I think it's a good question, and I think it's a challenging question, but I think that we are long past that day. I do think that there are people in this country, a significant number of people in this country, who see homosexuality as a behavior that they don't want their child to be exposed to. There may be parents out there who don't want their child exposed to biracial children.
So what she's asking, though, about is the impact on her child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is a hypothetical,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely. It's a good one.
Right? So the hypothetical is, supposing there were some parent who objected to biracial families.
A black person and a white person having sex is what we're talking about, right? Sex. I mean...
No, we understand the question, Chris. Again, I think that it's a challenging question, and I'm trying to answer it. I don't think there would be any foundation for anyone in where we have evolved in this society to say that anyone's religious beliefs in this society could be asserted in that context. I think that I would, again, this may be a point that you're going to disagree with, but I think that anyone who would object to a book about biracial children, whether it would be Asian and Caucasian, or black and Caucasian, or black and white, I don't see any religion in any way, shape, or form that is in any way acceptable or in any way a form of our community which would raise that objection. I do think that there are religions that do raise questions about homosexual issues. But yours is
I guess
a great
I don't
question.
See the I don't see the difference, but that's my I guess also I was wondering forget the biracial or anything. How would my child feel if somebody if somebody didn't approve of the way they were living?
Well,
they were brought up or whatever, or their parents were living,
Well, I'm sure that there's a lot of that goes on, not only in terms of towards biracial kids. I'm sure that there, in every neighborhood in America, there are kids who are looked upon as the kids from the other side of the tracks, I'm sure that there is vile prejudice that exists that none of us would hope existed, but I'm sure it does exist. And I'm sure that in many neighborhoods in America, not only upper-class neighborhoods, but maybe some of the less wealthier neighborhoods, the parents do talk to children and say, I don't want you playing with him.
But
because...
isn't that what we're talking about, the vile prejudice?
No, I don't think so, because I think you're talking about this David
No, we're talking about kids.
Yeah, we're talking about the religious beliefs, of David Parker and his family and their right to influence their children.
But I think David's talking about some sexual activity that I don't think we're talking about in the school.
Affirming gay marriage is a part of this, and you can't draw, you just can't draw that analogy. There's nothing in the Bible that says it's a sin to be a different race. Nothing.
Boston's newest hit, Nightside, with Dan Ray. WBZ News Radio, Denver.
Time's getting tight, folks, and we're going to try to get to one more quick call here. A lot of calls on hold, and I apologize if we don't get to you. We may come back to this subject. This has been a great conversation. Good, challenging calls, I think, on both sides of this issue. One last call from Lexington. Rob in Lexington. Rob, go ahead. I can only give you about a minute, my friend. We're really tight on time.
Okay, thank you. The question that I have for David Parker is, does he appreciate the difference between teaching behavior and teaching relationships? I know this has been asked a number of times, but he does not answer the question. What the basic crux of my question is, does he believe that the elementary schools in Lexington are teaching homosexual sex to the students?
You mean like sodomy?
Are they teaching sexual behavior to the student?
They are putting in the minds of children that two little boys can kiss each other. So, when you start a sexual relationship, usually start kissing. And kissing absolutely has sexual elements. In fact, an unwanted kiss that you would give is a sexual assault on a person. So even in case law, kissing is sexual. And, people may say, well, kissing a king and a queen is the same thing. The thing is, it's not the same thing.
Let me see if I can distill this.
Rob, you got to distill it real quickly. We're okay. Flat out of time.
Are you saying that the Lexington elementary schools are teaching diseased sexual behavior to the kids?
What do you mean diseased?
You said that homosexuality is a disease. So are they teaching diseased behavior to the children?
Okay, I think I we're going to leave that. Rob, unfortunately, we're just flat out of time. I want to give both my guests a chance to let folks know how they can contact them. We're just going to leave your question at right where it is. Appreciate the call. Call us on the line. Apologize. Laura, is there any way that you would like to let folks know how they could contact your group organization?
Well, we only have about a minute. Our organization is called Lexington Cares, CARES.org, and you can find us on the web.
Okay, great.
There are two websites, massresistance.org, that is a very important website, and davidparkerfund.org. massresistance.org. And David Parker Fund, one word, .org.
Okay, I want to thank you both for being in here. This
thank
is obviously
you.
A difficult decision. Try to be as fair and balanced as I can without talking about another network. Virtually all the callers tonight, I thought, from whatever perspective they were coming from, were really good and really challenging. There were a couple that, frankly, I think were off target, but I want to thank the callers for dealing with a complicated and emotional issue in a pretty rational way. I want to thank both of you. You both represent your point of view very well.
Thanks you very much.
Thanks very much, Dan.